FS. From oil changes to tires and everything in between, with the largest team of certified technicians in Western Oklahoma, let us show your ride some love today. Come experience the Barber Dyson difference of the largest selection, friendliest people, and award-winning customer service only at BarberDysonFord.net.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. I need to do the right thing. The challenge is finding out what that thing is. This is where you develop habits. Good habits produce good results. They're not dependent on what somebody else thinks or even what you think at the time. When you find the right thing, make it a habit.
And we're back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power. It is the most powerful hour of my day. Our guest for today is Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey with the Refuge Church.
Amen. All right, let's get back into it, girl. Okay, so we're talking about the process of the seeds of God and them developing in our lives. Now, only God knows the right condition for the seed to begin to grow and develop unto maturity in our life. And so this is so cool to me. For example, some seeds need a period of light or dark to germinate. See, every seed is different. And so there's a plant called, now I don't know if I'm going to say this right, Spinifex hirsutus, and it grows in the sand dunes of Western Australia. Now listen, it has a better chance of growing when its seeds are deep in the dunes where the sand is stable and there's moisture and nutrients. So its seeds won't germinate unless it's dark. Woo! So listen to me. What I want you to understand, germinate means to activate. See, some of these seeds, did you catch what I said? Some of the seeds in us are not going to grow until we're in our darkest hour. Wow! Oh, doesn't it make you appreciate the dark hours of life? You see, can you understand why Paul said rejoice in tribulation? He said, I say again, rejoice. Why? Because he knew something. He knew that this is not wasted with God. Even the darkest of my hours is not wasted with God. I'm telling you, some seeds of God are not going to grow in our lives until we're at our darkest hour. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So trust God. Take that in. Man, that's good. It can really make you appreciate the difficulties of life. God knew there are things in us that are never going to happen without it. Amen. Never going to happen without the difficult places. I'm telling you, some of the darkest hours of my life have caused the greatest growth. So I just trust God even in the darkest of hours. So James 1, 3, and 4 says, let patience have her perfect work in us. See, this is why God said to me, Tammy, I want you to endure patiently. See, that means I'm going to wait cheerfully. I'm going to wait hopefully. Why? Because I know that that thing is going to spring forth. Whatever I'm believing God for is going to spring forth. I just have to wait. I'm waiting patiently. See, the master gardener said that he's coming back and he expects to have fruit from us. Are you going to have fruit? The only way you're going to have fruit is if you have not resisted the Holy Spirit in the times he's trying to work in your life, in the difficulties that come your way. You see, we want to get out of the travail, but God said we've got to go through the travail. Amen? A woman in labor wants to get out of it, but she's got to go through it. And she can't speed it up. She has to go through the process. And if she'll go ahead and go through the process, it'll bear and bring forth what she wanted to bring forth. And so it's the same with us, saints. So let's keep travailing. Listen, some Australian plants, I told you he's talking to me about science. I can't even believe how much he's teaching me, but some Australian plants need to be exposed to the heat of fire for it to be activated. Smoke can even, in some plants, be what is needed to activate. It's like after the fire has come and there's just ashes and there's smoke, there in that place, there's a seed that's going to bear and bring forth fruit. There is nothing you go through that is wasted with God. Whether you are in the fire, whether you are in the pit, whether you are on the mountain, every place is valuable to God. Every place will produce something in your life. It makes me so thankful for everything I go through. The good and the bad are all truly working together for my good. Amen. So be encouraged. Listen, even all seeds go into what is kind of like a dormancy phase, okay? And I want you to know, just like we've been saying, the conditions, when they're right, it'll cause that thing to activate. Now, I want to go into the activation. What are some ways that we can begin to see things? What do we need so that those seeds that God's done in our life or in our loved ones' lives, how do we need to get them activated? Well, we're going to go into, let me see what verse. John 4:10 is where we're going to go. If I can pull there real quick. John 4:10. Boy, I wasn't for sure if I'd have enough when I just, you know, heard the Spirit and what I was supposed to preach, and now I probably got too much. Oh, God, you're so good. So anyway, listen to me. Dormancy means that even when, think about this, when a seed is dormant, it means even if that seed is exposed to water, exposed to oxygen, exposed to the right temperature, that seed can still delay in its germination, in the activation, until it gets in a certain environment. Did you hear what I'm saying? Sometimes we were taught in school, all you need for a plant to grow is water, soil, and sunlight. It's not true. Sometimes a seed will delay its activation or germination process because it needs the right environment. You see? So my son may just not be in the right environment right now. So I can trust God over that. There has to be a right environment for that thing to spring up. And so dormancy is a way that a plant improves its chances of its offspring's survival and growth. See, God wants not only me to bear fruit, but he wants that fruit to continue to bear. You see, it's going to keep reproducing. If I have everything in place, the right conditions, and everything's met, it'll keep producing. It won't stop. Amen? So that's another part of it. If you'll allow the seed to delay its germination, if it needs to, it'll produce, and then it'll keep reproducing. Amen? And so it has to have everything just perfectly. So water. How are we going to activate this thing? Water. Water activates seeds. Water causes the germination process to come forth. Most seeds need water to take in water to activate. And this is known as, I don't know if I'm going to say this right, imbibition. Okay? When we say the word imbibe, that's what it's meaning. Listen, when we talk about someone who got drunk, it means they imbibed too much. Okay, they're imbibing. So when you drink too much water, you're imbibing. To imbibe is to take in water or whatever, take in some kind of drink, okay? So the seed, the word of God, oh, I love this. God is so cool. The word of God needs to take in water. Now, who is the representation of the water? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. So let's see that. Let's see that. John 4, I want you to see this. John 4:10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God, he's talking to the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me to drink, you would have asked of him and he would have given you living water. Now turn over to John 7:37. It's going to explain it a little further. John 7:37 says this, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, and he said, if any man is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So what am I saying? Ephesians 5:18 says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. What happens when someone gets drunk? They get happy usually, okay? Some are mean drunks, but for the most part, people get happy. There can be a point they slip into the mean, but most of the time they're happy. You see, when we get filled with the Spirit, joy just automatically comes. You see, so we're supposed to be imbibing the Holy Spirit. See, we're supposed to be drinking of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, listen to me. I want you to grab a hold of this. The Lord said it this way. He said what happens is the seed will take in the water. It'll cause pressure to build in that seed, and it'll cause it to break open. Ah, taking in the water causes pressure to build in the seed, so it'll bust open and begin to grow. Praise God. Let me tell you what God is saying. Every word of God in our lives needs water, and that water is the Holy Spirit. So nothing works on its own. I want you to know that everything has something else in order for it to work. Think of it like this. Today, if you went and turned, you wanted to get water, what did you do? You had to grab a hold of the faucet and turn it. You couldn't have got water without the faucet, and the faucet couldn't have turned on without you. Amen? Everything has to have another component to work. So we've been thinking that all we need is the Word, but we can't get the Word without the Holy Spirit. I want you to grab a hold of this. This is really important. Many of the seeds that we've been sowing in our children's lives need the Holy Spirit to activate it. Many of the seeds that have been sown in our heart, we've listened to sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon, and it's like nothing's changing, because you need to drink of the Holy Spirit until that thing, till that Word bursts forth in your life. You see, it's going to bust open, and it's going to produce the fruit of God in your life. You see, many times people are just taking in the Word without the Holy Spirit. You say, but oh, Tammy, I've got the Holy Spirit. I said, no. The Word said you need to drink of the Holy Spirit. You need to drink of the Holy Spirit. Do we not eat of the Word? See, the Word is called the bread of life, and we eat of it. We talk about reading it and eating it, but then we say, oh, well, I don't need to drink of the Holy Spirit. I've got him. That's all I need. No. If you go sit down and eat all day today and don't drink anything and see how that works, it's going to be miserable. You see, just taking in the bread of life is not enough. You've got to have the Holy Spirit, and the only way you're going to get the Holy, you have the Holy Spirit in you, but you need to drink of the Holy Spirit. If you'll start drinking, when have we ever said, oh, well, I've got the Word, so I think I'll just, I've got the Word right in front of me, so that's good enough. I don't need to open it and read it. No, we eat of it. That's how we eat of it. We open and we read it. But how are we going to drink of the Holy Spirit? It's not because we just have the Holy Spirit in us. No, you've got to sit and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You got to sit and take him in. You know what? For me, I don't know how it is for you, but I spend time with him. I turn on some instrumental music that's Holy Spirit filled, and I just get with him. And I just say, I just want to spend time with you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I just want to fellowship with you. You know the Word says to fellowship with the Holy Spirit? So I go and I fellowship with him. I say, I want to know you more. I want to spend time with you. I'll come and speak to me today. Let's get together. And we spend time together. And I drink of the Holy Spirit. Begin to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I want to know what she's talking about. I want to drink from you. I'm coming to drink from you. Come and speak to me. I want to spend time with you. I want to imbibe on you, Holy Spirit. I want to get so filled up I can't help. I'm drunk in the Spirit. I'm just filled up with joy of the Holy Ghost. And I can't contain it. That's going to cause the Word of God in you to break forth and actually produce. Is this not amazing? God is so cool. I can't really take it. He's so cool. He's just cool. I mean, he amazes me. So many times we're just taking in the Word and we're not taking in the Holy Spirit. So start taking in the Holy Spirit, and you're going to begin to see these things start to come forth. I'm going to get ready to close. Let's look at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 is where we're going to close. I pray the Lord is just opening your eyes to some things maybe you've never seen before. And things are never going to be the same in your life from this day forward, because God is putting some seeds in your heart today. And the Holy Spirit is the one to activate him. Ask him right now. Holy Spirit, I ask you to activate that Word in me right now. Activate the Word of God in me. Every dormant seed that's been in me, Holy Spirit, go and activate that thing right now. You see, this is what I'm praying over my kids. Holy Spirit, go and activate every seed that's been lying dormant. I have sown seed after seed after seed after seed. Now go and cause that thing to wake up. Cause it to spring up. You see, but I'm waiting with patience until he does it, Neva. I'm going to joyfully run around, cheerfully waiting instead of working. Amen? Amen. And so the fruit of the Spirit, listen to me. When you see the fruit of the Spirit, we know it's in Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All of that is the fruit of the Spirit. Now, when you see this in someone's life, like, think of it. A lot of times we see someone and we just, man, they're like Jesus. You just love them and want to be near them, you know? And we say, oh, man, we just see them as so special, and we see the love of God in them. We see the joy in them, and we just want to be near them. Let me tell you this. That you're seeing in them is just simply the fruit of the Spirit. What it means is, you're seeing the blossoming of the seed, the same seed that's been put in you. It's just, it took time. We think it just happened automatically. They just automatically are loving. They're just automatically always joyful. No. this took time to produce in their life. They spent time in the Word and also drinking of the Holy Spirit until that began to birth forth. All you're seeing when you see the love of God is the fruit. It means that person has had some time to develop that thing. It didn't just happen overnight. It was a process, saints. And so the fruit of the Spirit is simply the blossoming of the seed of the Spirit. So it's going to take time for love and joy and peace and all that to produce fully in your life. What are we saying? The right conditions are going to have to be there for that seed to activate and grow. And the Bible says it needs to ripen and be perfected. And then that fruit is going to come forth. You're going to see it in your lives. Now listen to me. What do we say? It's not going to happen without the right conditions. So don't be discouraged by difficult times. Don't be discouraged by fiery trials. Don't be discouraged by them. Rather, start meeting them and say, thank you for showing up today. Glory to God. Thank you for coming in my life. You see, if you hadn't shown up in my life, I couldn't get where I need to go. But praise God, you showed up. And guess what? I'm going to surrender to the Holy Spirit in this. And because he's working in my life, this thing is going to make me look more like Jesus than ever. Tammy's going to die a little more and Jesus is going to grow a little more. Ooh! Amen. Tammy's going to die a little more and Jesus is going to grow a little more in me. You see, I believe wholeheartedly when Jesus came. Now, I'm not saying don't run off with this and say Tammy's preaching heresy, whatever. But I believe Jesus, when he came in the form of a seed. I believe he just began to grow, birth in us like a baby, and he's growing up. That's why it says in, I think, Ephesians 4, that we grow up into the head of him, which is Christ. It's almost like we're growing up in him, but he's growing up in us. And so he's having his way in us while we're growing in him. And so anyway, that's a whole nother message. But Romans 3, verse 3 is where I want to start. Romans 3 says this, let me make sure I'm in the right place. Okay. No, I'm not. That's not it. Give me a second. Lord, help me remember. Romans 5. Let's try Romans 5. I think it's Romans 5. Yeah, that's it. Romans 5, 3. Sorry about that, guys. Okay. It says, we don't only glory in the good times, okay, is basically what it's saying, but we glory also in tribulation. Why? Because we know something. Knowing this, that tribulation works patience. Tribulation is working that cheerful waiting, that hopeful waiting until we receive what's been promised. So tribulation is the only thing that's going to work that. Oh, man, can you see it? Can you look around at society? Can you see what God was trying to do in that woman's life yesterday? That got so upset that things didn't go as quick as she thought they should. And she pushed everybody out of her way. She didn't understand that, I'm not saying God produced that, but I'm saying he allowed it. So he was wanting to work something in her, but she resisted it and ran off. And so nothing came forth. So that's why she runs around bitter, frustrated, angry, lashing out at everybody, because she's not allowing the tribulations to produce the patience in her. And if you don't have patience, the Bible says you'll never get your promise. So God in his great mercy is allowing us to go through these things. So now look, tribulation works patience, and patience produces experience. Experience means now you have some things experienced under your belt. And now you ain't so caught off guard and you ain't so frustrated by that thing. And the next one and the next one and the next one. And you get to where you start living in a place of patience, which is a place of cheerful waiting, hopeful waiting. It means you stay in this constant state of cheerfulness, a constant state of hopefulness, even in the midst of difficult places. Glory to God. That's a place of rest. I ain't letting the devil take my joy no more. I ain't letting the devil take my peace no more. I'm keeping them while I'm walking through this thing. You see, I ain't giving up in the midst of it. So now I got some experience, and it says experience gives way to hope. Hope is not just I hope everything works out. It's the confident expectation that God is going to do what he promised he would do. I believe him now because I've seen him come through time and time again. And so I ain't so messed up anymore. I keep on believing in the midst of it. Amen. And so it produces hope. And guess what? It says hope makes not ashamed. What that means is hope will not disappoint you, child. glory to God, I'm not going to be disappointed anymore because I'm finally understanding that this thing really is going to be worked for my good and is going to produce the very thing I've been waiting on God to produce. I will not be disappointed anymore because I'm going to keep on going through, and I'm going to keep going through with joy. I'm going to keep going through with confident expectation that my God cannot lie, and when he said he'd bring me out, he really will do what he promised, and I can go all the way with him and get what he promised to give me. Amen. And he said, hope doesn't disappoint because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which has been given to us. You see, the Holy Ghost is doing that work in us. And you know what's happening, Monica? I'm getting more confident by the day in my God. Woo! I'm getting more confident and more confident and more confident. I'm starting to rejoice even in tribulation. I'm starting to see that the harvest really is just around the corner. And see, I'm waiting in joy and I'm waiting in hope for that thing because my God cannot lie. Amen. And if we will wait, we'll see it. But often we give up before we ever see that thing. And so, saints, today I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you that there's just simply a process that has to take place. Let that process have its work and complete what it needs to complete in you, in your children, in your spouse, in your family, in the church. Just trust him. He's really doing it. So I want to close and pray with you. Father, I thank you that right now you are doing the impossible. I thank you that even when we can't see what's going on, you're really doing it. Holy Spirit, we ask you to go right now and activate those dormant seeds that have been lying around. Father, we ask you to cause the environment that needs to be set up. We ask for the right temperature, the right environment. We ask for the right place. God, we ask for the right activation. If it's fire, send the fire. If it's heat, send the heat. God, if it's darkness, send the darkness. Whatever is needed, God, for that thing to spring up, let it come, God, so that that thing will finally spring up, God, and do what you intended for it to do. We trust you even in the hardest of times, God. Lord, whatever it is, we ask you to do what needs to be done, Holy Spirit, to cause those seeds to activate, bear, and bring forth fruit for your kingdom hundredfold so that we can be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, so that when he, the Father, the Master Gardener, comes back, we will not be found empty with nothing to give him, but we'll be filled with fruit of the Spirit so that we can give it to him. Oh, that we've done what he wanted us to do. We waited for that stuff to produce. And oh, he can come and enjoy the fruit of the harvest that he's been trying to produce in our lives, in our families so long. And oh, God, it will be glorious. It will be more glorious. He said, I'm going to cause you, child, if you'll wait on me. He said, I'm going to cause you to come back. You'll have to have people that'll come with you to carry all the sheaves in because it's going to be so much harvest. You can't alone carry it. He said, I'm going to send out people to help you to bring it in. That's how great the harvest is going to be. If you'll really wait patiently for what he wants to do. He said, I'm activating it. I'm activating it right now. I speak to those seeds and I say, activation has come. Burst forth right now in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Lord. Strengthen your people. Encourage them, God. Encourage them. They can go through this thing joyfully. You really are doing it. And we give you glory and we give you all praise today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
High five.
You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all, and I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Miss Neva Pyatt, and from Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Y'all have a blessed weekend, and we will see you on Monday.
Let us pray, let us pray. We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.